Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So continuing my coverage from Venice Immersive 2025, today's piece is called Heartbeat, and the English translation of the subtitle is His Heart Found Its Rhythm in the Silence of Encounters. So this is a little bit more of an immersive installation that has two people that are looking at each other, and you're wearing this watch that's measuring your heartbeat, and then that signal is sent over into the computer, and that it's seeing whether or not your heartbeats are synchronized or not. And so it basically has these projection of undulating blob that if you're synchronized, it's moving more towards each other and it's combining. And if you're not synchronized, then you remain independent. But the idea is that you're synchronizing with another person and directly communing with another person. It's more about that social interaction with the other person, but it's all kind of mediated by this whole installation. So the context is that you're communing with another person and your biometric heartbeats are being used to represent both symbolically and artistically, and whether or not it's taking on this journey of being even more united or somewhat disconnected and out of sync. So the primary elemental center of gravity of this piece is the air element, because you are in this social dynamic with another person and that your main focus is the other person, and you're not even in VR headset or anything. It's more of like the ambient technology where it's off into your periphery, where you're seeing the artifacts of your heartbeat and whether or not they're going to be synchronized. So it's cultivating these unique social dynamics with eye gazing. You're left to negotiate the encounter with another person, but surprisingly, the mode of interaction is completely within this unconscious or some symbolic realm where your mental agency is very constrained. It's a lot about the fates of your bodies and almost by luck whether or not your bodies will synchronize, or I guess there could be some elements of skill involved, but overall, you're not necessarily completely under control over what actually happens to your heartbeat. There's no explicit invitation to unpack or debrief the experience afterwards, but certainly some audience members who went through it took it upon their own selves to connect afterwards to chat more. But you do the experience, have this encounter, and then you kind of move on. So the second center of gravity is the earth element. So much more around the embodiment and your biometric data that's being captured from your body, and then that's being spatialized over time. And so it's basically a physically based installation where your point of focus is sitting in a chair across from another person, and the screen is physically behind you, and so it's almost out of your direct vision and more in the periphery as you see this undulating blob. So the goal is to get your blob to merge with your audience partner's blob by synchronizing your heartbeats. And then the third center of gravity is the fire element. So this is a little bit of your agency and active presence. And so there's a lot of like nonverbal interactions with another person, but you also have this unconscious collective agency between the two of you. So it's like trying to show your agency combining with another person's agency of sorts. And if you're able to control your will to the point where you're able to combine and create something unique that you wouldn't be able to create on your own. So that's kind of like the collective agency aspiration of the piece. And the water element isn't as emphasized because there's no explicit story elements. It's mostly these processes. And so it's a fairly intimate way to connect to another person in terms of the time. It's fairly quick experience. There's some onboarding and offboarding in terms of like putting all the equipment on you and off of you. But the structure of the piece is essentially pretty linear, where you're not giving a lot of instructions, but you're just asked to try to like synchronize with another person. And then basically there's a number of cycles between whether or not you get close or far away and the way that it may come together and far apart. So there's a way that it kind of has a cyclical nature of the degree to which these two blobs are either intersecting or not intersecting and how people make sense of that. And so the archetypal character and the themes that are being explored in the piece is, you know, deeply connecting with another person through this shared embodied and synchronized heartbeat. And there's more about the interactions with the other person than it is around the technology per se. But the technology is facilitating this fairly intimate connection with another person. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Fanny and Harry happened on Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025 at Venice Immersive in Venice, Italy. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
So I am Fanny, alias Bonnie, Lisbon. I'm working on digital art since 5 years. I founded my own company, Enter Black. So I produce my work by myself, but I work with a lot of talented people like Harry.
Hi, I'm Harry Cunefarlo. I'm a lead technologist and a sound designer for the Heartbeat project. And we often work together with Fanny.
Great. Maybe each of you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into the space.
So I came from the videography at the beginning. I was doing a lot of video for fashion, backstage, music, video clip. I was working as a director, so I can make a video and after I can edit it and stuff like this. And after I decided to do video joking. It's like DJing but with video. So I did a lot of gig in big place in Paris and in Bulgaria or other place. And after I crossed my way to Japan and I visited Team Lab. I was doing a lot of photography with video mapping on the face for my friends, music artists, for the album cover and stuff like this. And I was thinking after the visit of Team Lab, because Team Lab is a very big museum in Tokyo where they mix entertainment and digital art. And I was like, oh, it's crazy because sometimes digital art can be very difficult to be in. It's more about contemporary things, very VR, stuff like this. And I like the way they do it. So I was like, oh, it can be very funny to do like a video photo booth, like reality augmented, but in real life. Like I video project the things and the video projection can follow the face. So yes, I found it because it was my first idea. But it was a good idea. We go to Taiwan for the Taiwan Content Creative Festival at La Gaieté Lyrique in Paris and in a lot of venues.
And so I'm first an electronic music producer and musician. I also have a background as a DJ, which is how I met Fanny actually. I was just DJing and she was VJing. I also have like a background in sociology and communications. So when we work together, I'm mostly like composer and live performer. So when we've been working together, we have this audiovisual immersive show called Babel. So it's basically between telling a story and trying to bring people together, but also like having this performance part inside of it. And we also work on other live video mapping projects, which are more about like creating more interactivity and bringing people to try also the stuff. So basically to play live with the music and visuals. So this is usually how we work together. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's basically how we crossed paths and we started developing all these projects together.
Nice. And so where did Heartbeat begin?
It began on the chest of Ari. I was doing a nap and I was just hearing the heartbeat of Ari and it was like very relaxing. And when I go to the nap, every time I have some idea popping in my head and I was, oh, it can be very cool to meet a stranger with just the habits to share, like no talk and just... And I am very influenced by Marina Abramović and Christian Botanski. So I was like, it can be cool to don't be too much immersive, like in a 360 video projection, to be like very easy and make a face-to-face, could be very intimate, but also a good way to meet strangers. Yes, it was the beginning.
And so what was your introduction to this project?
So basically Fanny had this idea and it was for me the first time that I would work like on an installation. So it was crazy, like at the beginning I was like, what do you mean like about hearing someone else's heart? Like, isn't that weird and stuff? And she basically convinced me by talking about it. Like, we were just like very into it. And because I think I really started working on this project because one weekend Fanny made research, like what kind of heart rate sensor can I find? And she fell into the WeThings watches, who we are working with. And I just told her like that a previous company I worked with used to work with them and they sent them an email. And basically we had the chance and the opportunity to work with their whole team. So basically we are kind of like hacking their own watches to gather the data of the heart rates. And that's how we process it through the software we use, Touch Designer, and how we get to create the sound and visuals. So that was very interesting working out that kind of piece because it's like so simple, but the fact that it's really simple makes that you have to be really precise on some specific details, and that was really interesting.
Yeah, so it sounds like the first step is to actually get the data of the heartbeat and then to transmit it over to something that can process it and then feed it back and visualize it. So it sounds like getting a hold of these watches. Maybe you could share a little bit more around like what you had to do technically in order to get the data and then transmit it over in a real-time fashion.
Actually, the worst part, I think, is to interpret the data, and it was very easy for us because we work with this brand, and it's not a partnership. They work for us, but we don't have to mention it, so we are very lucky about it, and we don't have to pay, so it's cool. And yes, the interpretation of the data was the worst part because we did one time with like our sensors, and we are like, oh, there are a lot of dysfunctional signals or the aberration.
Like a noise that's coming in?
Yes. So they did everything to clean because they are doing this type of tools since like 10 years. So we was lucky about it. And after I was like, I made a alphabetical languages of colors to say, okay, if it's blue, it's for the calm heartbeat, if it's pink, it's for the speed heartbeat, because I was thinking I don't want to put people in a bizarre place, like it can be very nervous to hear the heartbeat. So if you are feeling like in a hospital, it can be very, very anxious. So I was like, okay, trying to do some stuff like more meditative, but also pop colors. So yes, that's why Oh, we did. We used to work with two people, also technologist people, Bertrand Lepatre, Data Random, and Sébastien Mercier, Neurotypique, who are the master of the touch designer. And it's a very cool software to have to interpret generative data. Yes.
So you're getting the data, you're interpreting it, and then you're feeding it back into this kind of undulating orb-like entity that has different colors, like pink to blue. And then we're given the instructions in the installation to look into the eyes of the other participant and to breathe and relax, essentially. And that hopefully, if your heart sync, then the two blobs converge and you have your heartbeat synchronized. And if not, they'll isolate and then have different colors. And so ends up being this sort of like experience where you have agency, but you don't really have agency because, you know, how much can you really control your body? And is it really your fault or their fault? And then, you know, in my experience, we actually converged like very quickly and easily, but then at some point, like it lost contact and it would like, he stopped hearing my heartbeat and my light went away and then they had to fix it. And so it kind of got disrupted. But even when we got back online, we very quickly synced up again. And so, yeah, it's a really beautiful and intimate experience, but maybe you could talk about the process of developing this whole conceit of, like, where did you get the idea of synchronizing heartbeats, that this was a thing and that you could somehow visually represent it?
Because when I did the first research, I asked two people, what do you think about hearing heartbeats of someone else or stuff like this? So the first response I have, it was for the mom when a girl go to the hospital for the first time and she hears the heartbeat of a kid. It's very, very powerful moment. And all the girls say to me, oh, and it's very funny because our heartbeats synchronize, but the heartbeat of the kid is faster. So I was like, oh, it's funny. It's a cool thing to think about how synchronicity it is. And after I make some research and I found there are a lot of research in theater and movie cinema, and they understand all the people can be synchronized if they are in the artworks. Because if you're going to see a horror movie, an example, and something pop from the story, everyone will increase synchronization at the same time. Because synchronization is not about the same number of BPM, like I am 18, because it depends on, it's very relative about your body, your capacity, your heart. But the synchronization is more about the curve of the BPM.
Nice. And I guess as you were hearing more around the synchronization, what were some of your strategies on your end to try to figure out how to like either visualize it or help to have some sort of physical representation outside of our bodies to visualize it?
So basically, yeah, the idea of synchronization, as Fanny was saying, is that you will have the same ramp of your heart rate, meaning like you'll be getting more anxious and it would increase your heart rate or maybe calm each other. So it will like calm your heart rate. And basically it's a tangent mathematically because you have your whole BPM curves and it's just a slope in the way it goes. So we basically took in the software these slopes, meaning what was the sense of your heart, like where was your heart rate going? Was it increasing or slowing down? And we basically made a subtraction between the two of them to understand how close they were. So Fanny had this idea of merging the two spheres so that it would create that, and we created like two steps for it, like one being just the spheres at the center, meaning like you have been synchronized for 5 seconds, and then you have the second one, which is like huge and whole colors everywhere. Did you have one maybe? And it means like you have been synchronized for more than 10 seconds, which was quite a number. And we had to try then like what is the margin of error we can admit between these two slopes. So yeah.
Nice. And when you were helping to guide and direct the visual aesthetic of this, what were some of the things that you were trying to achieve with this kind of undulating blue and pink kind of sphere that's kind of changing shape?
I wanted to have like very fluid things, to be not too serious, to be not in the hospital way, or to be like more meditative. So yes, on my fav artist in numeric art, digital art, it's James Turrell, and he used to work with like shape, like color shape and big spheres and stuff like this. So yes, it was the idea, the visual.
And how did you tune it in the sense of like, if you were looking at the numbers and seeing the heart rate, there's like heart rate variability, which is a whole other thing of it changing. And so the synchronization, if there's a way that you would able to see those numbers coming in and then sort of visualize, like just to ensure that it was actually, you know, synchronizing and that people's heartbeats were actually like, you know, synchronizing. Just talk a bit about that, like debugging process.
Oh, we did actually 3 weeks of test residency in Le 104 in Paris. So it helps us to understand what was the synchronization. Like Harry said before, what is the error accepted? Like so the error accepted is 2 BPM of difference. So it's not a big ramp of error. Like it's very, finally people synchronize a lot when they are sharing a moment. We just understand that, so we don't have to like make fake fix. Like when you saw when the watches is disconnected, there are no sounds anymore. So we are not cheating in this way. And same for the synchronization. So when we discover the first synchronization of 5 seconds is very easy to have. Not for everyone, actually. Some people will never be in the same way, but it can be very easy to have the 5 seconds. We decided to do another level and make this one with 10 seconds of synchronization and with this whole moving image. And it's very funny to see because sometimes the two people are blue, like it's like calm heartbeats. So if they synchronize with more of 10 seconds, the image will be full of blue. But sometimes people are very pink and the other one is very blue, and they find a way to be synchronized, but they are in their own range of BPM. So that it's a different BPM, but the ramp is the same. And it's very funny because when you see the whole image, you can see a mix of blue and pink and stuff like this. So it's a multicolor things. It's like a football match, but about encounters. Who influenced who, why, how it happens.
And what's the pink and what's the blue? Maybe you could elaborate on what those different colors are representing.
Blue, it's calm heartbeats. And so we decided to make like between 60 to 80, it will be very light blue. If you go more, it will be more like purple, and after you can go to the pink after 80 BPM, and more you are pink, more you are excited, and we stop the range at 160. Yes, 160.
Okay, and so, yeah, maybe talk about some of the experiences that people are having in this heartbeat experience. You know, I found it very poetic myself, and yeah, just a real nice way to connect to another person. So I'm just curious to hear what some of the other reactions have been.
Thanks. Actually, we have a lot of good reaction. Like people met every time they took like 10 seconds at least to talk between each other. And that was the whole point of this artwork. It's to connect people because I think we are in a time. It's very difficult to listen to each other because there are a lot of point of view and political point of view and stuff like this. And it's difficult to discuss because you are thinking, hey, you don't think the same way of me. So it's cool to don't talk before to talk, because if you spend 10 minutes to just look at each other, you will like break the glass, the ice before. So after you will be like, okay. So yes, we have this type of reaction, is 80% of people, but sometimes it can happen. It happens one time, one of the two was too bad, so we decided to stop the encounter because our phobia about the earth bit also. And we have some people that are like, okay, I want to cry, and some people cry. So it's very cute also. But we have a global reaction is Asian people say to us in the culture, it's very difficult to look at each other during a long time. So they was like, okay, thanks to do that, but it was very uncomfortable. So yes, it's funny to hear, and we can't wait to make this artwork travel to understand how it can be like in a music festival or in a theater. I'm sure it will be different because the audience is different.
Yeah. Any reactions from your front in terms of things that you were hearing from the folks seeing it?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Like what we like about it is like when people get out of it, like they do want to talk to each other mostly, even when they felt uncomfortable, because like staring at someone in the eye like for 10 minutes can be like a weird feeling, but there is always a reaction afterwards, and that's maybe what we are looking for. Like what we like is like people mostly don't talk about like the visuals or the sound, but the person they met. So, and that's what we try to do. So maybe like that's what we like most.
And you also have, when you're checking in with the docent, there's a book with lots of different statistics and facts around the heartbeat synchronization. Maybe you could just share a little bit about designing that book and what all else you wanted to include in terms of like the other research behind this type of idea and project of hearts and heart rate and synchronization of people.
I think we can't implement in this book like every time, so but we decided at one point to just stop. But yes, it was very, very funny to deep in, because there are some facts very like incredible about the earth. Like the earth is like, it's very like not heavy at all. It's 2 grams. So it's totally crazy to hear that, because we are, it's the motors of the human body. So it's very heavy. And the same, it's a relationship between the weight of the earth and the life of the people. Like a little mouse will die in 2 years because the earth is very little, and for the elephant it will be more time. And yes, when we discover the facts with the pillow for a long distance couple, we was like, wow, it's so fun and cute. It's a little object you can put in your pillow. It will take your heartbeat to make the heartbeat in the pillow for the one of the couple. So it's very cute about it. Yes, there are a lot of fun facts.
Any favorite facts around the heart?
Yeah, actually, my favorite one that we actually put in the piece is the one that says that your heartbeat is like your iris or your fingerprint. It's unique to you. And basically what we saw is like the Pentagon now can find anyone in a crowd just with a radar, like by hearing their heartbeat. And we found that totally crazy and a bit like scary, but
yeah.
And we thought that was really interesting to know that it's unique to you, and like it's like we each have one and it's ours only. So yeah, I really love this one.
In the experience, there's a little bit of onboarding and priming, and I'd say a light amount of guidance, and it's really kind of left up to people to find their own way. But in terms of advice that you give to people in order to get the most out of an experience like this, what do you usually generally tell them for how to reach this state of receptivity, of being able to open yourself up to synchronize your heart with someone else?
I think the key is in the breath. If you are breathing at the same moment with your partner, it will be sure to have the same rhythm. If you are like 1, 2, 3 inhale and then exhale like this, because when we talk with some professors about the heartbeat, everyone was like, okay, if you take a coffee or a cigarette, it's the worst because it will be very influenced for your heartbeat. But the more easy way to calm your heartbeat is to be concentrated in your breath. But actually, it's not the game. Maybe it can be cool to don't be synchronized also.
Do you have any tips for people that you like to give?
Yeah, like it's not about like tips, but you try to be like as short as possible with the introduction. Like we don't want to be like too much like story-wise, but we also added this part where you had like you were introduced and were feeling your own body before listening to your partner's heart. Actually, like Michelle told us about this idea, and we really wanted to develop this because like it helps you acknowledge like your own body and think about yourself before getting to the actual encounter. And yeah, breathing is key also, yes, of course.
Yeah, I really appreciated the peripheral nature of this experience because, you know, when you have a headset, your field of view is only like maybe 90 or 100 degrees. And so in this experience, you don't have any headset and you just have the projection map behind you, but it is kind of behind you, but you see it more in your periphery when it starts to merge. But your focus is really on the person that's sitting across from you, and you're trying to just engage and look into their eyes. And so, but you still have an awareness of where you're at in the experience by having this kind of peripheral awareness. And so, yeah, I just thought that was really elegant in the way that you're able to kind of give some ambient information around the information that's being radiated from your body. And I imagine as we move forward, we're going to have more and more data that's going to be coming out of our bodies. And so this feels like a project that's starting to experiment with what Amber Case calls ambient computing, or ways that we can have computing that's in the background but still informing us, and perhaps even this biofeedback effect allowing us to be even more synchronized with our body and more in sync with others. So yeah, just curious to hear about that kind of peripheral design. Of, you know, you could have it in front of you, but you have it behind you in a way that is not the center of the experience, but the center of the experience is the other person.
Yeah, like I'd say at the beginning, I would like in this installation to have like a very soft thing, to be like more performance arts, like Marina Abramović once, where when she was just seated in a table and waiting for the audience to just be in front of her. So yes, it was the whole point of the scenography, to not be too more immersive also. Like I said, it can be like disrupting for the encounter to be too much like in 360. So yes.
Nice. Any other comments on the design?
Well, yeah, I agree that like the whole point wasn't like the artwork, as we said before, but most like the encounter, and it's just here to help you and maybe guide you. But we had like quite a lot of research about the projection, because at the beginning it was like flat, but it was then separated from the people you met, and we had like this whole reflection about like how can we like see it but not make it the center of it. So that's how we ended up with like this rounded peripheral projection.
Yeah, and the full name is like heartbeat and something around like finding other people in the encounter. Maybe you could say the full name in French and also the translation for what it translates to in English.
Yes, Heartbeat, son cœur a trouvé sa cadence dans le silence des rencontres. Actually, it's like the sentence you have in your epitaph. It's the name in English is it's uncut. Can you say it?
In English, it's their heart found their redeem in the silence of encounters.
Beautiful, yeah. A very poetic title that kind of mirrors the poetic nature of the experience. And so where do you want to take Heartbeat here in the future? What's next?
Let's see. Actually, it was our premiere, so we didn't make some diffusion before, so we have to understand where we can put it. But we have some plans. Let's see.
Yeah, I think like this is a piece that can be shown like in festivals, but we'd like for it to be seen by a broader audience than just the classic immersive audience. So it could be maybe we want to show it like maybe in museums or public space even. Like that's really important for us, that it is a piece that is shown to the broader audience possible, even if we come from the immersive field, obviously.
Yeah, I actually have an unpublished interview with somebody from the Neurogaming conference that then eventually rebranded to X-Tech that was from Subpack, and he was a part of the consciousness hacking community, and that he had an experience where you would wear haptic vests and try to synchronize heartbeats. So it's an interview that I haven't published yet, but it's an idea that has been out there in terms of like using different immersive technologies to synchronize heartbeats. So I think haptic vests could also be another aspect of integrating heartbeats in and sharing heartbeats and potentially even creating a way that it's kind of radiating across your whole body and make it easier to synchronize, perhaps.
We were speaking about that during the time we was prototyping. We was like, oh, it can be amazing to have some haptic things in the share and stuff like this. And after we understand, if we don't want to like make an influence on the encounter, it will be more easier if you have like nothing, just hearing. Yes.
Nice. And finally, what do you each think is the ultimate potential of immersive experiences, immersive art with biotech in there as well? And what do you think it might be able to enable?
Oh, actually, I hope so. But like same for the sensor, it's just a way to have the BPM. Actually, we are trying to put the sensor like the less invasive as you can, to don't influence on this. And I'm not from a scientific background, so I feel like not very comfortable to work with this type of tools also. So it was very cool to work with in this piece, but is not the way we have the habitude to work. So let's see what we will do in the future, but maybe we will implement these things in live performance or stuff like this, but I don't know yet.
I do agree, like working with biosensors is very tricky because it can be really scary in the way that we measure ourselves and others also, and the data like we are providing basically on a daily basis. And so this was like quite important for us, like as Vanny said, like we want to use technology in the way that it's forgotten in a way. Like for us, like immersive experience, we try not to make it about like the technology, but about like the audience and how like they feel and react together. So the less invasive it is, like the less you see it, basically, it's the best way for us to show these kind of experiences because it can help better like bring people together, which is something really important for us in our work. And we feel like that's important today, that we bring people together in a way.
Yeah, I'm also imagining that if you get really good at synchronizing one-on-one, then groups, and then, you know, more and more. So not just from one-on-one, but like a whole group synchronization feels like a design challenge for sure, but something that you could, as people get better at tuning in and dropping in and synchronizing, then what's it mean to get bigger and bigger, right? Yeah.
Actually, we work on it already, but for this we need, because we are from a background of monumental video mapping, so it can be very easy and cool to have this in a big wall and to say to people, go around this table, be 2, 3, 4, 5, and let's see if you can synchronize each other. But for this, we need to have residency, testing, and a lot of workshops, I think, because the key of this type of experience is to experiment before.
Great. Anything else left unsaid that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community? Any final thoughts?
Actually, no. I'm very happy to be there.
Yeah, I would have said the same. Like, it's really, really nice for us to be there, but also like to meet everyone. And so all the type of works, like different works we can have in this field, like it is actually such a niche and so broad at the same time. So basically, yeah, we are really glad to be there, and we are really glad like that immersive is getting like out of mainly VR, and that like we are starting to accept like different area of work inside of it. So that makes like more space to try and challenge technology and create with it, and like go beyond just like what's expected, basically.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining me here on the podcast, and I really think that Heartbeat's a real sweet and poetic piece that it can be very connective and moving in a way that allows you to, you know, connect to another person in a very intimate and kind of unique way. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where you continue to take it and evolve it, since it's kind of a new frontier of looking at the bio data and figuring out how to tie it into more immersive and interactive and social experiences. So thanks again for joining me here on the podcast to help break it all down.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning into this Venice Immersive 2025 coverage, and hopefully you found some use in some of this documentation of these experiences that are very ephemeral. And some of these show at these festivals, and they don't really go out widely beyond this a lot of times. I mean, maybe they are, but you may not be in a place that it's easy for you to see them. And so it's a real privilege to be able to see all these experiences, but also to be able to sit down with these creators and have a really deep, in-depth conversation in a way that there are not a lot of other opportunities to really dig into at this level. And so I really appreciate all the time from all the creators to be able to have these conversations, but also for you to take the time to listen to them. And also, it's been a challenge of trying to find a way of speaking about these experiences in an abstract, theoretical way, or at least in a way that I can ground it and allow you to put yourself into the experiences to kind of imagine some of these different things that they're doing, how I'm experiencing it, but also the different types of design decisions that the creator is making. So if you find this useful and want to support this type of effort of both documenting the history of immersive storytelling, but also to support this kind of wildly ambitious independent journalism project that is very much driven by support by listeners like yourself. So please do consider becoming a member of the Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.